If you have your Bible tonight, the book of Exodus, chapter number 8. We're going to go from 12 to 32 tonight. The battle between God and Pharaoh continues on. And you'll notice, if you would, last week, Aaron stretched out the rod and frogs came up. Millions of frogs. They were everywhere. They couldn't stop them. They were in their kneading troughs. They were in their ovens. They were in their bedrooms or their beds. They were everywhere. And so you'll notice, if you would, a very famous verse. They asked, Moses asked him, said, "When do you want the frogs to be taken away?" And he said, you may know what he said? "Tomorrow." Who in their right mind does that? I mean, if I'm in pain, if I'm suffering, nobody's going to say tomorrow. If there's a mouse in my house, there will be no wife in my house. And if I asked her, "When do you want me to get rid of the mouse?" she would say, "Yesterday." Okay? I want it gone now. And so all I'm saying is that no one, unless they're stubborn and they're arrogant, would say, "Tomorrow." And that's what Pharaoh did. Then you'll notice, if you would, in verse, this is Exodus 8, in verse number 9, it says, verse number 10, "And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word." And you'll hear that word again, tomorrow, coming up again. Verse 11, "And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses, from thy servants and from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only." Now notice, if you would, in chapter 8, verse 12. "And so Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh and cried. Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh." So Moses goes out and gets on his knees and he cries out to the Lord and said, "Lord, please, would you remove the frogs?" Now, understand, this battle between God and Pharaoh was in the middle of it was Moses. He would do something, throw down the rod, serpent would come, eat up the other serpents. But now it's getting into things. Now, the frogs are everywhere. And he says, "Look, when do you want me to get rid of them?" He says, "Tomorrow." So now Moses has to go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, could you get rid of the frogs tomorrow, please?" It's not anymore that he just waves his hand. Now he's got to do some things and pray and ask the Lord. So Moses is working hard in this on his knees spiritually. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, "Say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod." So Moses prays about it and God gives him the answer and the solution on how to get rid of the frogs. And then how to bring on the lice. We're going to get that in a minute. But I want you to notice in chapter 8, verse number 14, and verse 13, all the frogs died. They died in place. So everybody says, okay, notice in verse 14, "And they," the people of Egypt, "gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank." Notice, if you would, in the outline, in the introduction, after Moses and Aaron cried out to God to remove the frogs all died. And they were gathered into piles, and the dead frogs began to smell up the land. So there were so many frogs, the land smelled awful, like dead frogs. I don't know what that smells like, but it's not pleasant. You'll notice, if you would, Roman number 1, "And God's great power could not be duplicated with the next event." Now, understand, this is the third miracle, the third judgment, rather. And notice in chapter 8, verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, "Say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, no one here likes lice. But these lice were a little bit more than just the lice that get in your hair and get on you. They would kind of jump around and they would get in your ears and your nose and drive you crazy. So these lice are everywhere. And so you'll notice, if you would, in verse 17, "And they did so. And for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. You'll notice, if you would, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and get this, to bring forth the lice. They brought forth frogs. They threw down their rods and got serpents. Now, Aaron's rod ate up their serpents. And then they poured out water and became blood. So they did the first three things. But now notice, if you would, verse 18, to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. On verse 19, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now notice, if you would, in the outline. A, Moses and Aaron brought lice before Egypt, all over it. And B, in the outline, the magicians couldn't match God's power this time. It's almost like the Lord was saying, okay, I'll let you match this one and Satan, and I'll let you match this one. But there's going to come a point in time where it's going to get real serious, and I'm going to show you my mighty power. Now, there's one other thing you're going to notice. You'll notice here, this is the ramping up period. Now, notice, if you would, see in the outline, the conclusion of the servants of Pharaoh was that the lice were the finger of God. In other words, God's hand was on Egypt now, and he was punishing them. He was trying to get their attention. And everybody recognized it, even Pharaoh, but he hardened his heart. And folks, tonight, look, all of us, there are things sometimes when somebody says something to us and we're wrong, and we sort of buck up a little bit. We don't want to admit it. And so we sort of force the issue. That's what Pharaoh's doing. But the Lord keeps upping the ante. Notice, if you would, D in the outline. However, Pharaoh would not listen and let Israel go. He denied it was God's power. Now notice, if you would, in verse 19. This is the finger of God, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. The Lord said, hearken unto me, listen to my people go. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. He wouldn't listen. He denied it was the Lord's power. Now notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2, God sent swarms of flies. So each time the Lord begins to make things worse and worse and worse. Now notice, if you would, in verse 20. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And saying to him, he's going down to the river to get a drink. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Tell him again. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, also the ground whereupon they are. Now, I don't know if you can imagine this. I cannot. When I would go stay with my grandparents in Oklahoma, they didn't have air conditioning. It didn't have indoor plumbing, except for the kitchen sink. We had an outhouse. And I would go up there every summer and ride horses, hunt and fish. It was wonderful. But my grandmother, what my duty as a grandson was to kill all the flies in the house. They had screens up. So she would give me a fly swatter and she would say, okay, grandson, I want you to go get the flies. I don't want any flies in the house. We're going to eat. I don't want them buzzing around. Okay. So I would go around the house as the fly hunter. And I was probably 10 years old. And I had the fly swatter, and you know, they had these wires on them. You know, they're wired and had a little rubber end on it, kind of a plastic end on it. And I thought it was sort of unfair to let them land and hit them. So I would try to watch them and knock them out of the air. Well, that didn't last long. I knocked one right into the cherry pie, and that was not a good thing. And so my grandmother goes over and just takes her finger and dips it out and says, that's your piece. I said, oh, no, that kind of thing, you know. So I learned my lesson. Don't knock them out of the air. So I'd wait for them to light, and I'd swat those flies. But I might get 6 or 8 of them in an evening. I cannot imagine. They're all over the floor. There's swarms of them in the air. Now, I've been in Alaska. I was in Alaska bear hunting above the Arctic Circle. And the mosquitoes were so thick. There would be a herd of caribou out there. The mosquitoes were so thick as I walked on the tundra. It's spongy. As I was walking, getting close to the caribou, that as I would, you could hear a and as I would stop, the black swarm would come around me. And I could take my hand and go like that and see the swath through the mosquitoes. I've never seen anything like that in my life. But I can tell you this, I was bathed in DEET off to keep the mosquitoes off me. And yet I can picture, I've seen that and I've heard them. And the buzzing around you, and you could see them everywhere, just in darkness of clouds. But to have flies, swarms in the air, swarms in the house, swarms on the floor, I cannot imagine. And they're filthy things. But to have millions of them inside your house, and you'll notice in the outline, the flies were all over Egypt, but not in Goshen. God does something different this time on the fourth judgment. Now, say judgment. There were more miracles than judgments. But this is a judgment that's also a miracle. Because God commanded the flies to come, and they came. Now, follow with me. And they were everywhere in Egypt, but not in the land of Goshen. It's up at the upper right-hand corner of Egypt. And it is a very fertile area, but there were no flies in Goshen. That's where Israel lived. Now notice, if you would, verse number 21, he says, "And if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants." Look in verse 22. "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." Now, the Lord's got a plan, and his goal from the beginning is that all of Egypt would know he is the God of heaven, and that the children of Israel are his people. Now, do you understand that in the New Testament, the Lord wants everybody in the world to know that you and I, as saved individuals, are his people. And the way they know that is we're different. We're sweeter. We're kinder. We're forgiving. We're loving. We're harder working. We're more pleasant. And everybody looks at us and says, there's something different about those people. We're honest to a fault. We're truthful. And folks, that's why tonight, it's so important that everybody in this room that knows Christ as Savior, you become like Christ. You live in his image to be like him. It's yes, you're trying to please him, but the byproduct of that is you're a light in the world. The Lord says you don't go around and try to be a light. You don't paint yourself with phosphorus. You don't try to put an electric battery in your back pocket and put lights around your head. You become different by your character. And the Lord is looking for that from his people. You and I are his signpost that he makes a difference. Now, notice with me, if you would, in the outline, B. This is Roman number 2B. God always makes a big difference between his people and the world. Look at verse 23. "And I will put a division." And this Hebrew word means a deliverance, a redemption, a distinction. "I will put a distinction and a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." Tomorrow the swarms of flies are going to come everywhere. But you look at the line of Goshen, where it is, and there'll be no flies on this side of the line. On that side, swarms. And I'm certain that Pharaoh sent somebody out there and said, Pharaoh, there's no swarms. There's no flies in Goshen. I didn't see one. Nobody's swatting flies out there. But when I got stepped over the line of Goshen, it's awful. I was stepping on them. It's awful. It's just like it is here. This is the finger of God. This is God doing something we cannot do. And He's making sure you and I know that those Israelites are different than us. Notice, if you would, verse number 24. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted. It was wasted, is the word for corruption there. Ruined. It's like whenever you get a beautiful peach and you put five or six worms in it, it's ruined. And so he says, the land was ruined by reason of the swarm of flies. So understand, I don't know that we can sort of picture this, but if you could just picture swarms of flies everywhere in your house, in your car, it's hard to breathe. You have to keep some of your nose and mouth. And they just got finished with the lice that were even smaller. I hope you can understand the picture here. And the Lord is just getting Pharaoh's attention, and the children and the people of Israel are kind of sitting back and saying, wow, look what God is doing. He's building the faith of Israel, and yet He's building the respect of Egypt for Him. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, see, there was great corruption because of the flies. We read that verse. Then notice Roman numeral 3. Instead of Pharaoh's heart breaking and him humbling himself before God, he began to compromise and try to cut a deal with God. Now, folks, tonight, anytime the Lord corrects us, we have two choices. We can say, I don't believe it's God. We can say, I think if it is God, I'll work a deal with Him. Or we can repent. We can say, I'm sorry, Lord. That's His desire, is for us to come to ourselves like Sunday morning, the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he said, I have sinned against heaven and against you, Dad. That's coming to ourselves. Whenever you and your mate are maybe having some struggles and you come to yourself and say, look, if I hadn't said this, it's my fault. Will you forgive me? You come to yourself. These events are to get Pharaoh to come to himself and to say, okay, I'll let the children of Israel go so they can serve you, Lord. And the whole point of why God stepped back and let Satan harden Pharaoh's heart was so that Pharaoh in the end would be destroyed and the Egyptian would realize there is a God in heaven. Pharaoh never accepted the Lord. He was agnostic. Notice, if you would. Now, he worshiped other gods, but not the God. And notice, if you would, in the outline, I want you to see this. As he began to compromise, notice the wording in verse number 28. And Pharaoh said, no, wait a minute, back up verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God. And notice the phrase, in the land. Now, can somebody tell me what God had said to Moses to tell Pharaoh, this is what I want you to do? What was it? Anybody remember? We're going to go 3 days away and then worship. 3 days puts him out of Egypt. Out of his hand. Well, you'll notice, or far away from him. And you'll notice he says, go you sacrifice to your God in the land. So he says, look, you can go, but I want you to stay in the land. Because he didn't want to lose his free labor of almost 1 million people. Notice if you would. And Moses said, it is not meet to do so. It's not right to do so. Notice. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. And lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? Number one, they don't like lambs, and you want us to, well, God wants us to offer a lamb, and they're going to stone us for doing that. And so God had a reason for everything he does. And Pharaoh knew that. He wanted many of them to die. Well, notice verse 27. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commanded us. So he says, stay in the land. You can go a day away. Now notice what he does. And look, if you would, in verse number 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go. The swarm of flies did the trick, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Do you hear what he's doing? How many of us have tried to make a deal with the Lord? Lord, I'll do what you want. I'll go witness to that person if you'll just let this happen. Lord, I'll go to church tomorrow if you'll help me with this. Lord, look, all of us, when there's something we don't want to do, are going to, if we're not careful, if we're not close to the Lord, are going to try to make a deal with the Lord. Lord, I'll do that. I'll forgive my wife if you'll let her treat me better. I'll forgive my husband, Lord, if you'll just let them do this. If you'll let me do what I want to do. Pharaoh says, look, stay in the land. Okay, I'll let you go, but stay in the land. Okay, I'll let you go, but don't go very far away. Do you hear him? And we do the same thing if we're not careful. Lord, I'll have my devotions if you'll let this happen. Lord, I'll tithe. I'll give money if, Lord, you'll give me a raise. Many times people, to get something, they'll give something. Do you understand tonight? The Lord wants us to give something because we love him. No wife ever wanted flowers from her husband so that he could get her to let him go on a vacation hunting. Let him go golfing. I'll give you flowers, but, now can I go golf tomorrow? I'll get you this, but can I go do that? It's not a deal. The Lord holds out his hand and says, give me your everything, your heart. Now, God is always better to us than we could ever deserve. So we're never going to lose out on the deal. If we give a spoon, he gives a shovel. If we give a shovel, he gives a wheelbarrow. If we give a wheelbarrow, he gives a backhoe. We just can never outgive the Lord. But we want to cut a deal with him. Pharaoh is a carnal man. And anytime we try to cut a deal with the Lord, we're being carnal too. Now notice, if you would, in the outline. A, Pharaoh said they should go worship their God, but stay in the land. We saw that, verse 25. B, Moses clearly said that was not acceptable. He said, it's not meet for us to do that. It's not right for us to do that. Because he knew what God had said. Moses is trying to obey the Lord. Pharaoh is trying to get God to work with him. Notice, see, then Pharaoh said they could leave the land but not go very far. Certainly not 3 days away. Now, I want you to notice, there's a reason why we try to cut a deal with God. Pharaoh was being deceitful in dealing with Moses because he wanted to keep his slave labor. Moses warned Pharaoh about his deceitfulness. Look at verse 29. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people, tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So, okay, I'll let you go, but would you get rid of these flies for me? Oh, you can go, but don't go very far. And he said, Pharaoh, stop dealing deceitfully. Now, notice the next phrase. I want you to see this. E, God removed the flies tomorrow, and not one was left. God displayed his mighty power. Notice, if you would, verse 30. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. Now, entreat is to sort of plead with the Lord. It's to go and say, Lord, I'm really asking you to get rid of them all. And, you know, sometimes we have to really plead with the Lord. We have to prayer, Lord, would you help me at work that I can get this project done? Entreat is when you're maybe down your knees or your heart's in it. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help. Would you please help me tomorrow at work? One is a prayer. It's not bad. But then there's entreating. There's pleading with the Lord. It's the New Testament word for supplication. When we pray, we're talking to the Lord. You know, I'm praying when I say, Lord, I want to thank you for fixing our bus. Lord, I am so grateful you fixed our bus. But when I'm entreating the Lord, there's this heartfelt desperation that I need something from the Lord. And the Lord is always touched by that. And so Moses is entreating the Lord. Supplication is prayer with heart, you might say. It doesn't mean that we're not saying, Lord, I want to thank you for fixing our bus today. Lord, I want to thank you for what I saw him get done today in the building. I want to thank you for this child that learned today. Lord, I want to thank you for this that went to the hospital and so-and-so is doing better. Lord, thank you so much for that. That's heartfelt. But if I'm going to pray for John McCone and his cancer treatments, it's not as much of, I want to praise you for fixing the bus. It's a supplication. It's, Lord, I need you to help John. I need you to help Ray Finnefrock. Lord, I need you to help Evie Donahue, Carolyn's mom. Lord, could you please work in their behalf? Notice, if you would, in verse number 31, verse 30, and entreated the Lord. This is Moses. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. So the Lord did exactly the way Moses asked him. I think this is the prayer. Lord, would you get rid of all the swarm of flies? Lord, would you get the ones at his house? Get rid of the ones that, Lord, are in their ovens. Lord, would you get rid of the ones that are everywhere in Egypt? And Lord, would you get rid of every one of them so that he knows it's you? And read this. The Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people, and there remained not one. When you and I pray specifically, God answers specifically. If you remember, he says in Matthew chapter 6, when you go into your prayer closet, you pray to your Father in heaven in private, and he'll answer you in public. So that you're the only one that knows it got done. Now, notice, if you would, verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Now, notice in the outline, E, God removed the flies tomorrow and not one was left. God displayed his mighty power. Now, I don't know how he did it, but they go to bed and the flies are everywhere. They're sleeping with covers over their heads so they can sleep. They get up the next morning and they're all gone. Gone. And it's exactly the way Moses told Pharaoh was going to happen. Don't you think that Pharaoh would say, wow, that Moses, he does have a God in heaven, because that's impossible. To get rid of all those flies. There's not any left. Wow. Notice, not one. So only God could do that. Now notice with me, if you would, F in the outline. When people deal deceitfully, their hearts are hardened because they are trying to cover their ulterior motive. When they get what they want, their heart is hardened because they didn't have to give up what they didn't want to give up. And Pharaoh didn't have to give up his slaves, his free slaves. And he got rid of the flies, so his heart was hardened. And that's the reason why you and I have to correct our children until they understand their heart is broken and they say, I don't ever want to do that again. So somehow you've got to get to their heart, and somehow God has to get to your heart and my heart so that we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I understand. We're not trying to cut a deal with God. Lord, I'll do what you want if you do this. Always be honest with the Lord because he knows your motives. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. You and I hide nothing from the Lord. Proverbs 24:6. The thought of foolishness is sin. The Lord sees our thoughts. Psalm 139. He seeth my thought afar off before I even think it. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Folks, tonight, we can't hide our secret sins. We can't hide our secret thoughts. So when you talk to the Lord, open up your heart. Deal honestly with him. That's the only way you can deal with the Lord, is with honesty. Now notice this. Rome number 4. We must learn the lessons of this battle with Pharaoh. A, God's power is unequaled, and he uses his power for his children. Now, if you have your Bible, quickly turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want you to see this real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want you to notice. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 37. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with a mighty power out of Egypt. He said, because he loved your parents, because he loved thy fathers, he brought them out of Egypt with his mighty power. And notice verse 39. Know therefore this day, considered in mine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. His goal with the battle in Pharaoh is to let everybody, Israel and the Egyptians, know he is God and there is none else. Now you'll notice, if you would, he did use his mighty power for the children of Israel, and he'll use his mighty power for us. I got to tell you, I don't know. I sat in the conference room with our staff, with confusion in my heart. What do I do? What do we do? We need a bus. We can't go on the field trips without it. We can't. And then the other bus needs to go in the shop. And how do we go to State ODAX? And all these things are going through my mind. Lord, we need you. You've got to give us some direction. And so this morning we get up and pray, and it's been 5 months, and we get up and pray, really pray, and the text comes, your bus is fixed. Only the Lord could do that. And it strengthens your faith. So I got out there and said, there's some more things. I'm going to get my prayer list and pray for some more things. Notice, if you would, be in the outline. God puts a difference between his children and the world. You don't have to turn there, but in Exodus 11:7, he says, I put a difference between Israel and everybody else. I put a difference between my children. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There's a difference between us and the world. And he treats you and I differently because we're his children. How many of you have children? Raise your hand. How many of you treat them different than other kids in the world? All of us do that. Well, that doesn't mean you're mean to the other kids. It just means you're watchful of your own kids and you're compassionate of your own kids. If one of the children falls and hurts his knee, sure, you're concerned about that. but you're more concerned about your own children because they're your responsibility. And do you understand that we're God's responsibility? And he takes that responsibility seriously. And he says, I love you. I'll use my mighty power for you. We have to learn that lesson. Folks, we have so many prayer requests that stay in heaven that don't get answered because we don't bother to pray hard enough, long enough, or we don't even pray at all. We just try to do it ourselves. And last one, see, God always exacts a heavy price from those who deal deceitfully. You don't have to turn there, but get a chance to go home and look at 1 Samuel 28:18-19. Saul was commanded to go to battle and to win the victory of this group of people. And he does, but he doesn't do it the way God said. And the Lord said, because you didn't, I'm taking the kingdom away from you. It was his greatest treasure. And the Lord does that with us. He'll find what's most important to you and remove it to try to get our attention to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Tonight, you and I serve a great God. He can remove the flies and not one remains if you and I entreat him. Tonight, let's do that with the Lord as we go to prayer. Let's bow forward to prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here tonight and you're carrying a burden. Maybe there's something that you've been facing this week. Could I challenge you to bring it to the Lord tonight? Maybe you've been facing an illness or a job issue. We had one of those men wrote me today and sent me a note that said, I got the job. We've been praying for a year and about a half for him. He said, I just can't believe it almost. Lord Jesus, thank you for treating us different than the people of the world. Lord, thank you for using your mighty power for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd protect us from being stubborn and rebellious. Lord, would you answer our prayers tonight? Help us draw nigh to you. In your name I pray. Amen.